From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, just blocks away from our state capitol, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. On today's show, we'll talk about everyone's favorite chicken sandwich restaurant, Chick-fil-A, deciding to end their donations to prominent Christian organizations after facing backlash, and what we should make of that decision, plus some important pro-life updates and new legislation to protect unborn children. So this is the news that had everyone talking on both sides this past week. Chick-fil-A announced that they will no longer be financially supporting a number of prominent Christian nonprofit organizations, mainly the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army. These nonprofits have been around for a long time, and both do great, important work. And previously, Chick-fil-A and their charitable arm, the Chick-fil-A Foundation, have been outspoken and generous in support of these organizations, which has led to protests and demands by the pro-LGBT lobby and activists that Chick-fil-A, for supporting these organizations, is anti-LGBT and hateful, and everyone should protest Chick-fil-A, and they try to prevent Chick-fil-A from opening new locations. And that kind of reached a tipping point recently with more protests and more smearing of Chick-fil-A. And it appears that Chick-fil-A has decided in response to this that they will no longer partner with or financially support the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so the headlines that were running all over the country were that Chick-fil-A ends donations to anti-LGBT organizations. That's what the headlines were. And but we're going to get into this because there are some really important lessons and takeaways in this, I think. And it's really angered a lot of people on the right. And what we're seeing is that people on the left and the activists that have been protesting Chick-fil-A are, well, still not satisfied. But ultimately, Chick-fil-A, of course, is a private organization, and they are free to donate or not donate to whoever they want. They don't have to give anything away, but they are a Christian family organization, and charity and generosity has been a big part of their organization and their brand, and they have been generous as a business in supporting nonprofit organizations and other Christian ministries, which for many years has included the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. But this is extremely disappointing for a number of reasons. You know, first, I think it's a poor decision. They didn't have to do this. They're not going to satisfy or appease those who have been seeking to slander them and discredit them and try to cost them business. They're not all of a sudden going to be rushing to fill Chick-fil-A's. In a way, it's a slap in the face to their base that has supported them faithfully despite the smear jobs by the left, and has helped them become one of the most successful, profitable, and rapidly growing fast food chains in the entire country. But what's really disappointing is that this decision has really helped unfairly smear these other good Christian organizations who don't deserve to be labeled as anti-anything. They serve and love all people. And by Chick-fil-A announcing that they're no longer going to be supporting them and seeming to cave to the demands of activists, they're essentially endorsing those false labels that have been given to those organizations. They took the easy way out, or at least tried to, with this decision. But the activists on the left, they're not satisfied. They're never going to be satisfied. This does nothing other than to alienate those who have supported them, as well as help slander good Christian organizations as anti-LGBT. So this is not only disappointing from that standpoint, but really I think it's completely counterproductive. Surrendering to the mob never pays off, ever. This is merely the tip of the spear. They're not satisfied. They're not going to want to help support Chick-fil-A all of a sudden now. No, they're going to want them to endorse and implement explicitly pro-LGBT policies. And actually, that's exactly what happened, is that even after this decision, these organizations just kept criticizing them. They're going to want them to promote Gay Pride Month. They're going to ask, what is Chick-fil-A doing to support or promote gay pride like these other restaurants and different organizations are doing? They're going to wonder why they aren't donating to pro-LGBT organizations instead of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes or the Salvation Army. They're not going to support Chick-fil-A. They're not going to stop slandering them. They're going to want to see donations and support for GLAAD and Planned Parenthood. And they've already shown them by making this decision that they're willing to back down and that they're willing to harm the reputation of good Christian organizations in the process. And that's why this is so upsetting. They can choose to donate or not donate to whoever they want, but this solves nothing for them. It makes it worse. And it hurts other faith-based ministries, both financially by dropping their support and in their reputation, organizations who serve the needy and do exactly what they claim to want to help support. Chick-fil-A's announcement said they wanted to move away from their current structure of charitable work and instead move into a new focus of three initiatives, which will involve education, homelessness, and hunger, which is wonderful. It's great that they want to do that, but guess which charities help with education, homelessness, and hunger? The Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army. And as Matt Walsh wrote for the Daily Wire about this, he said, this move is much more likely to alienate Chick-fil-A supporters than to appease its critics. Surrendering to political correctness almost never pays off. And Chick-fil-A isn't likely to be an exception. Personally, I don't care what charities a chicken restaurant does or does not support. That is their affair and their decision to make. I am not going to boycott. Their chicken sandwiches are still delicious, which is my primary concern when I'm in the drive-thru, but it is disappointing and somewhat bewildering to see them cave like this. Their refusal until now was important for reasons that have nothing to do with gay marriage or homosexuality. It was good to have at least one major company be able to defy the rage mob. Regardless of the reason for the defiance or the issue at the center of the controversy, the defiance itself was the point. Their surrender, on the other hand, has no point. And I think that's absolutely correct. Chick-fil-A wants nothing to do with the culture wars, and they shouldn't, and they don't have to. They're a chicken sandwich restaurant. And that's exactly why it would have been just as easy, and actually easier, compared to the situation they've put themselves in now, to simply continue what they had been doing that led them, or at least helped lead them, to become a widely adored and highly profitable business, and just simply say, look, we love and serve all people, and so does the Salvation Army, and we believe in helping feed and clothe the homeless and impoverished. And the bottom line is, we shouldn't be looking to a chicken sandwich restaurant for our moral values or inspiration or moral compass. And I don't have any expectation that they must donate a certain amount of money to certain charities. But it is sorely disappointing and disheartening because for so long they had been a refreshing presence and an example that other people could look to and say, you know what, I don't have to cave to the liberal social agenda in order to be successful. I can stand up for biblical principles or what I believe in and do what I do well and still have a beloved and profitable business. And this time, when they had the opportunity to once again stand strong in the face of adversity, they tried to take the easy way out. And it will come at the expense of others and in many ways their own reputation as well. There's been no explanation for this decision, apart from the fact that the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes are Christian organizations who believe in biblical standards of marriage and human sexuality. The headlines, as I talked about, said that Chick-fil-A was no longer donating to anti-LGBT organizations. That's what they allowed to happen by making that decision. But what Chick-fil-A actually said was that they're clarifying their priorities, which include homelessness and education and hunger. But since that's exactly what the Salvation Army and Fellowship of Christian Athletes are about, it's clear, it's obvious what this is really about. And so this is only going to serve to embolden the bullies that have been coming after them for years. And it more than just financially harms these Christian charities, it helps endorse these false and slanderous hate labels that have been unfairly given to them. So ultimately, this decision will prove far more financially harmful to Chick-fil-A than anything, and certainly more harmful than anything that was ever said by their founder, who voiced his support for traditional marriage 7 years ago. And ever since that happened, and it sparked protests that have been going on since 2012, when these LGBT boycotts began, a little bit of interesting information. In 2012, Chick-fil-A's annual sales were $4.6 billion. In 2018, Chick-fil-A's sales totaled $10.4 billion, which was up from even $9 billion in 2017, making it the number three restaurant in terms of sales in the United States. Also, since 2012, the chain has opened at nearly 700 more restaurants. And again, Chick-fil-A is absolutely free to do whatever they want with their money and to establish whatever principles or philosophies that they want to implement for their charitable work. But it, nevertheless, it is an extremely baffling and disappointing decision. Conservative scholar and author Robert George had this to say in response to this announcement, saying, quote, "This makes clear that Chick-fil-A has established a litmus test for its philanthropy. If an organization holds to biblical standards of marriage and human sexuality, it will not be funded. By notable contrast, if an organization publicly rejects such standards, it is nevertheless eligible for funding. Thus, Chick-fil-A, which asked for and received the support of countless Christians and other social conservatives when it came under attack as a result of its founder's statements, is effectively validating the blacklisting strategy employed by the LGBT lobby, which means that it also made itself complicit in promoting the idea that to uphold biblical standards of marriage and sexual morality is a form of bigotry, which therefore warrants a company's or a person's being stigmatized and blacklisted." And for our friends at the Family Research Council out in Washington, D.C., this is upsetting really on a very personal level, because back in 2012, a gunman entered their office building with three loaded magazines with the intent to shoot and kill the Family Research Council employees. Thankfully, he was stopped and apprehended after shooting the security guard, but in his backpack was a stash of chicken sandwiches that he was planning to smear in the faces of the staffers that he hoped to kill, saying, quote, "They endorse Chick-fil-A, and it would be a statement against the people who work there." And so Tony Perkins, the president of Family Research Council, wrote a really insightful article about this and about Chick-fil-A's decision. And so this is part of what he had to say, writing, "If you're wondering why the backlash is so strong, it's because the people who held up this company as a model of moral courage were betrayed. Unlike so many others in corporate America, Chick-fil-A was standing on truth and winning. Then, after years of holding the line, they just up and walked off the field, leaving loyal customers holding the bag." But the worst part of Chick-fil-A's decision isn't the damage it does to its own reputation, but to others. By backing away from two faith-based organizations, the third largest fast food chain just helped legitimize the left's labeling of these groups. And they've been given every other company and celebrity that supports the Red Kettle campaign from the Salvation Army cover to do the same. The selfishness of that, sacrificing two other Bible-believing groups as acceptable collateral damage, says a lot about where Chick-fil-A now is as an organization. Every believer in today's culture understands the price of standing for truth. Some people more than others. For every company that takes the road of compromise, there are courageous Christians who are willing to give up everything just to stay true to their convictions. They understand that fear is real, but our faith must be too. The world tells us, don't rock the boat. but Scripture disagrees. Don't pray for deliverance, the disciples were told. Pray for boldness. God changes the course of human history through people who fear Him, not the intolerant crowd. And so I think that's one of the most important takeaways from all of this is that as believers, at some point, everyone is going to have to decide for themselves who it is that they fear, God or man, and what we will do as individuals when we are faced with public shaming or public backlash or blacklisting. And so it's an important reminder to check our own values and be prepared to make a stand when our time comes. And thankfully, on a different issue, it is becoming pretty clear that people across the country are ready and willing to make a stand for life. Last week on the show, we talked about Congress unanimously passing legislation to protect animals and increase federal offenses for animal abuse, but refusing to take any action on legislation to provide the same sort of basic, compassionate, and common sense protections for unborn children. And when we posted that on our website and on our Facebook page at Nebraska Family Alliance, the response was really overwhelming. That post was shared over 190 times in just 24 hours. It really resonated with people. And I think that's because people, they see the injustice in that and that there is value and dignity in every single human life. And surely, if we're going to provide protections to animals, which we should, we ought to be providing protections to members of our own species as well. And Republicans, both in the U.S. House and in the Senate, are continuing to lead the way on this. Just last week, Republicans introduced first-of-its-kind legislation in Congress to protect unborn children who are diagnosed in the womb with Down syndrome. The Down Syndrome Discrimination by Abortion Prohibition Act imposes a fine and imprisonment of up to 5 years for abortionists who kill an unborn child because he or she has the chromosomal abnormality. The bill includes privacy protections for pregnant mothers, forbidding coercion, and safeguarding them from prosecution. This is really important legislation, and here's why. More than two-thirds of unborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted in the United States, more than two-thirds. And last year, we saw Iceland, they celebrated that they had eliminated Down syndrome, which just means that they had killed every preborn child that was diagnosed with Down syndrome in the womb. And so this legislation is absolutely essential. It needs to be heard, it needs to be voted on, and it needs to be approved because these children deserve protection just like every other child does. And you can contrast this with some news. We also got this past week that the Democratic Attorneys General Association announced that it would only support candidates running for office around the country if they publicly commit to supporting abortion. And then you've got this in Michigan, where Democrat state legislators and their Democrat governor proposed legislation last month to strip their state of any protection for unborn babies, including parental consent for abortions for minors, a 24-hour waiting period, and access to the abortion pill through telemedicine. And so I bring these stories up not only because they're important to know and be informed about, but they're a good example of why Christians should be involved in politics and government. If Christians quit caring, if they quit voting, quit running for public office, quit speaking out publicly, there would be no protection, zero, for unborn children. And we get to talk about this subject a lot at Nebraska Family Alliance, the life and abortion issue, and also what it should look like for Christians to be involved in government and politics. That's a pretty common question. Should Christians be involved in politics? And if so, what should that even look like? I think it can often be really tempting to either idolize politics and make it the center of our lives and the most important thing or on the opposite end, to reject politics altogether and disengage from the political process entirely. But we believe that a better, balanced, and biblical view of faith and politics is one of significant Christian influence on government. And here's why. Influencing government for good on the basis of wisdom that we can find in Scripture is a theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. Good and bad governments make a huge difference in people's lives and in the church. We know that where God's principles are followed more fully and people are allowed more freedom, the church will often thrive and people's lives are better in countless ways. Throughout history, Christians have influenced laws and governments for good. And today, while we have opportunity, we should go on trying to influence government for good. Oftentimes, people didn't and still don't have any ability to influence government other than to pray for a leader who would let them practice their faith in peace. But today, we can influence government and affect it for good when government seeks to interfere with our freedoms or pass unjust laws. The opportunity to get to help select the kind of government that we have is a stewardship that God entrusts to citizens in a democracy. This is a stewardship that we cannot neglect or fail to appreciate. In fact, we are living today with freedoms that most people throughout human history have never known, including the freedom to worship God according to our own conscience 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. This is something we have an obligation to protect, not only for ourselves, but for all citizens and future generations. We can accomplish this by seeking the good of our neighbors through advocating for public policy that reflects the truth of the gospel. And in doing so, we not only honor God, but benefit others and our civic life. Praying for those in authority, voting, petitioning, campaigning, volunteering, defending biblical principles in the public square, and even running for elected office are all ways we can influence government according to God's purposes and steward the freedoms and privileges that He has entrusted to us. If Christians do not engage government and culture and remain quiet about the moral and ethical issues that we face as a nation, we will leave a moral vacuum that will be filled by everything except the gospel. And in a society dominated by partisan politics, we must let our manner of life and our earthly citizenship be worthy of Christ. As believers, we have an opportunity to show that political involvement can be done in a distinctly Christian way that shows grace and truth, justice and mercy, and boldness and humility. That's what we strive to promote and live out at Nebraska Family Alliance. And for more information on how Christians can engage government and culture and how you can help partner with NFA to defend life and liberty in Nebraska, you can visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. That's all the time we have for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.